I love reading romance, even with my mom. Historical, paranormal, a good rom-com. We both like a grump, an alpha and a beard. But reading with my mom, well, it gets kinda weird. I'm reading steamy scenes, getting bothered and hot. But if mom is asking, I read it for the plot. We look for swoony scenes, those moments that delight. Communication's good and the banter's so right. So if you'd like to read along and join the group, here's a little secret, I'll let you into the loop. It's just a little show that we like to dub, Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club.
Welcome to the book club that sure is not your mom's romance book club, but it is my mom's. I'm Ellen, and joining me as always is my mom. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Hello, Ellen. It's going ever so good.
Awesome. Today we are chatting about Butcher and Blackbird by Bryn Weaver. But first, Mom, what have you been reading and watching?
Well, this is the only thing I read. Mm-hmm. We've watched a ton of true crime.
Yeah.
Because Dad's out of town.
We've watched a lot of, I've watched a lot of Taylor Swift content.
You say that every week, so.
Well, that's how I'm choosing to spend my weeks lately. I don't know what. Do you expect me to just lie
to the public? I haven't really watched much, have I? I don't think so.
No. I mean, Taskmaster.
Same. My husband and I went and saw the
Ministry
of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah.
First of all, Henry Cavill. And it was delightful. A lot of Nazis get killed. So,
there you go.
Go into it knowing that a lot of Nazis get killed.
I did an escape room this week.
You did?
That was pretty fun. And it was like railroad themed, and I just taught my kids about the Transcontinental Railroad. So like the nerdy teacher in me was like, oh my gosh, this is so like on par with everything I've been teaching this week. But you know, it was like a haunted train, which I don't think generally is what was going on with the Transcontinental.
Yeah, sounds amazing.
Transcontinental Railroad. And yeah, just general end of... The kids are starting to drive me a little crazy. Well, not starting, but...
I was going to say, you say this every... you say this every year.
Yeah. But we are definitely hitting the spot in the year where they're, like...
checking out.
They're checking out. I'm also checking out, and my patience is also waning. And in the course of their checking out, they're just not giving an F. Generally. We're all just...
That's terrible. I feel so bad for you.
We're all just having a great time.
I did many years of those myself.
Yeah, I know. I'm reading a lot of fourth grade books. I'm reading Ella Enchanted, which is giving me so much joy.
Well, the book is very different than the movie.
Yeah, I know, but I loved the book first.
I loved the book first, too. I read the book before the movie came out, too.
Yeah. So I'm reading that. I'm also reading Flipped, which is also a romance.
I love that one, too.
So I'm reading Ella Enchanted and Flipped and Fish in a Tree and Restart Again, which I read for our last book club. But the kids are... I love reading all four of them with the kids, because then whenever the kids bitch at me about this, we have to read so many pages, I'm like, well, I'm reading all four, so...
Are the kids loving Flip? Because
they are. It's actually kind of cute, because I have, like, two boys and two girls in the group, and, you know, the boys are trying to act, like, cool and above it.
This is... it's romance. It's ridiculous.
But it is two boys who are, like... way more tender-hearted, but they're trying to. Generally, like, in general, I don't know if they're catching spring fever or what is going on, but we are having a lot of crush talk in my class right now. And
maybe it's your book choices.
Maybe. I don't know. But they wanted those.
Just so you know, if you haven't read the book or seen the movie, you need to either read the book or see the movie of Flipped.
Flipped is a pretty good adaptation of the book.
The movie, like, is a good adaptation of the book.
Yeah.
The movie is very much told from both. It's like a romance novel in that, you know, it'll be a chapter.
Well, and the book is definitely a romance novel for preteens.
But what I'm saying is, you know, you get the dual POV.
Yeah.
And the movie is also done in the dual POV. And it's...
The biggest change that the movie makes is that it sets it in the 1950s, which the book is not set in the 1950s. But, yeah.
But it's very cute.
So I'm enjoying that. And, you know, if anything, it's just hard to, like, move them on to something other than the romance talk.
And I think the movie's done by Carl Reiner. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner. But I'm like, okay, we've appropriately dissected the, like, slight interaction that Ella and Prince Char had together. Let's move on to other things that have happened in this chapter. And they're like, but we just want to talk about, like, that hand grace that they did. I'm like, girl, I get it.
We like the hand stuff.
I'm like, listen, you don't have to explain it to me. I understand.
Watch Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley, because we're all over that trash.
I know. There's this group of girls in my class that I so badly just want to be like, if you guys like that, you really should check out.
Let me give you a list.
You know, I wouldn't do, like, I wouldn't recommend this one, but...
What? Why wouldn't you recommend this one?
But, you know, certain other things I want to recommend. So that's fun to somewhat do, you know, Romance Book Club Junior Edition every week. Okay. Do we have anything else to say in this part?
I don't think so.
We've been pretty boring.
We've been very just layaboutish.
I was talking to one of the teens that I worked with at church, and she's now in college. And I was like, so what's been going on with you? Because she came home from school for a week. I'm like, what's going on with you? She's like, nothing. I study and I go to school, and that's, like, it. I'm like, girl, I feel you. I'm like, I hated, like, when I would see people every week at church usually, and they'd be like, hey, what's new with you? I'm like, I'm a grown-ass woman. Do I have to have something new happening with me, like, ever? Is that, like, how other people are living their lives?
Because I am not.
Where they have something new happening to them every week? Because that's not what my life is like. So I must be doing this wrong.
You every week on this ask me, you know, what have I been doing? And I'm like...
Oh. Yeah, but you have more time.
I do have a lot of time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm using it all wisely.
That's true.
It's not like I'm out curing cancer or anything. I'm just, you know, watching and reading. I watch and read.
You don't even read that much,
though. I don't even watch that much. I mean, I could be using this time to get into shape or to, you know, I don't know, go out and serve the community and do charitable things. And it's like, nope, not even close. In fact, you know, if I shower during the day, I feel like I've accomplished something. But don't judge me.
Low bar. Okay, today we are chatting about Butcher and Blackbird by Bryn Weaver. This is the first book in her Ruinous Love trilogy. The second book, Leather and Lark, is set to come out on June 4th, so just like in a month or so. The third book, Scythe and Sparrow, is set to come out in 2025. This is our first of her books. Yeah.
Does she have other books out there?
Yeah, she does. I mean, it seems like... it seems like this is, like, her first bigger release. The others kind of look a little bit maybe more indie, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But, and I think this one very well could be also, but that's just the vibe I was getting from looking at her Goodreads page. Okay, here's the back cover description for this book. Every serial killer needs a friend. Every game must have a winner. When a chance encounter sparks an unlikely bond between rival murderers, Sloan and Rowan, the two find something elusive, the friendship of a like-minded pitch-black soul. From small town West Virginia to upscale California, from downtown Boston to rural Texas, the two hunters collide in an annual game of blood and suffering, one that pits them against the most dangerous monsters in the country. But as their friendship develops into something more, the restless ghosts left in their wake are only a few steps behind, ready to claim more than just their newfound love. Can Rowan and Sloane dig themselves out of a game of graves, or have they finally met their match? I also thought it would be within keeping of this book to read the trigger warning list. just so you can be aware of, like, things that are going to come up during our conversation as well.
It's probably a good idea.
So if you need to be triggered, if you're going to be triggered by just the conversation of these things, like, just be aware.
Because we are going to talk about
We are going to talk about it. So this is the book with the craziest list. So hold on tight. Cracks, knuckles. Yes, this is really the list. Yes, it all does happen. Eyeballs and eye sockets, amateur surgery, skin ornaments, chainsaws, axes, knives, scalpels, a lot of sharp objects, accidental cannibalism, not so accidental cannibalism, questionable use of a mummified corpse, lobotomized manservant, ill-advised use of kitchen implements. I'm sorry about the cookies and cream ice cream. I'm not really. Detailed sex scenes, which include but are not limited to cock warming, rough sex, praise kink, anal, adult toys, choking, spitting, dom-sub interactions, and genital piercings. References to parental neglect and child abuse. Parental loss not depicted. One parent murdered. One parent passed in childbirth. References to child sexual assault, not in detail, and it's a book about serial killers, so there's some generally messed up murder and chaos.
Yeah, all that stuff happened.
All that stuff did happen.
And we're about to talk about it all.
Mm-hmm. So, just be aware. All right, Mom, on that note, what did you think of Butcher and Blackbird?
Okay, well, here's the deal. I'm a little conflicted about this book because I want to say I loved it. But I feel bad that I loved it. I mean, not that I feel bad that I loved it. I don't know what that says about me that I loved this book.
Yeah. I think I'm also a light love. There's like some things I think for me maybe sometimes like I mean, especially considering everything I just said, sometimes I got a little too goofy for me. And I think maybe it's like the true crime junkie in me, but I spent a lot of time being like, where are the police? Like, well, why is nothing happening?
They're leaving DNA all over the country and no one's figuring this out.
I'm like, how are they going to find the body of the guy that she was in the cage with for 3 days? There's no way she wasn't having bodily functions or whatever. Like, I was calling it, like, that was my main thing. And I'll talk about that more later in a future question. But also there was times where I was just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I'll also say I listened to all of it. I saw a lot of people like recommending the audiobook. I will also say I know that there is drama about the audiobook.
Why?
Because the male narrator, I guess, like is in some hot water because he was being inappropriate with like fans. And he's like married and also like he's started an audiobook company, and I guess some of its like business dealings were
That's too bad.
Questionable.
He had a nice, sexy.
Yeah. So I was gonna say, like, so while I recognize that we're not generally happy with him as a romance community right now, it's too bad because he does do a good job. And like the audiobook it's definitely like performed kind of. I mean, it's still very audiobook, and like it's not. I didn't feel like they were leaving out any dialogue tags or whatever, but it's performed much more like a radio play where there's, you know, conversation that's overlapping and there's some amount of sound effects or just
moaning and groaning, baby.
Yeah, and like laughing over each other, like if it says like she laughed, then like she laughs kind of thing. So I thought it was really well done and it was a good listen. It's too bad that we're not happy with that guy.
That is unfortunate.
Because he does have a very nice voice and was pleasant to listen to. Don't be a creepy douchebag and...
Yeah.
It's like, and still have a sexy voice. Yes, please.
It's like being stuck in the woods with a bear or a man.
Yeah. If you follow, like, there's this TikTok trend right now that we now are, like, questioning every man in our lives about. But where it's... like women, wives are posing the question to their husbands, like, if our daughter was trapped in the woods, stuck in the woods, would you rather she was stuck in the woods with a bear or a man? And it's always, the husbands are always like, well, tell me more. Is it a man we know? No, nope, it's just a man.
A man. Random.
Is it a friendly bear? Is he a hungry bear? It's like, you don't get to know anything else. Just a man or a bear. And they all... like, almost all inevitably pick, they would rather it be the bear.
The bear.
And my dad was the same.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing was you could eventually elude a bear, or they would grow tired of trying to get you and walk away. Where a man, if he wants to get you, he's going to get you.
Well, and like, as somebody pointed out, it's like, the worst the bear is going to do is kill you and, you know, you will die. A man can do worse for longer.
And it could be horrendous.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's on that note, let's talk about this lovely book.
It's kind of similar. So I also have some like pacing issues, I think, a little bit with the book. And I don't know how much of that is, well, I'll talk about it later. But what did you think of Sloane as our heroine?
I liked Sloane. I did like Sloane. She was she's a little more cautious of their relationship, mm-hmm. which I get. I mean, because mm-hmm. he was like all in from the get.
Yeah.
And knew he had to like tread lightly because she was...
skittish.
Yes. And that's, I mean, that's pretty much where her nickname came from, is that she was ready to fly away at any moment.
Yeah.
And I really liked their banter. Mm-hmm. I liked,
She's feisty.
She is feisty.
We like a feisty heroine.
She kills bad guys without remorse.
Yeah, I thought she was fun. I thought she was good in the bantery department. I think with her, I wanted to know more. Like, we get allusions to why she is the way she...
I think the next book is going to give us more information.
I think so, too. But I think she could have done, like, a bit more hinting at, like, what her deal is.
I think... I was thinking the same thing, too. And his backstory. I mean, both backstories are very much just alluded to. Mm-hmm. And but I think, especially since the whole trilogy is about him and his brothers, I think we're going to get more of their backstory throughout the rest of the books. And I think the next book is about her best friend, who she had to protect. Like, her first murder was protecting Lark. And I think that we're going to get more of that backstory
I think so, too. I think she could have done more to, like, cliffhanger that better, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I could see that.
And give you enough. I mean, that being said, it's impressive that we don't have much justification for why either of them are doing this, but yet they still come out okay in this book. I mean, at least for us, I can definitely see other people reading it and being like, they're just terrible people. And I would be like, fair.
Fair. And this definitely is not a book for everyone, and I completely see that.
Yeah.
It's also much sexier than I'm used to reading, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
We are definitely going to talk
about
that.
So the fact that I enjoyed it as much as I did, see, there's a lot of things in it that I keep thinking, maybe I shouldn't have enjoyed it as much as I did.
Well, it's surprisingly light and fun. Yeah. Like, for what it is, it is that. So I liked Sloan. I thought she was fun for a serial killer. And
she was always caring. Like, wherever she killed someone, she was always trying to help. Uh-huh. Kind of bit him in the ass at the end. But, yeah. Like, she took the cat that was left and the cat was terrible to her the whole time.
Yeah.
But,
she wanted to take care of David, the lobotomized manservant.
The lobotomized manservant.
screws him up.
She
wanted to help Spoiler Autumn. Alert.
Yeah, I mean, she always wanted to help out these people.
Autumn is another reason where I was like, why? How is she not going to say anything to the police?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of things where I was like, I mean, even in the they went and had dinner with the one guy, and I know they always clean up, but we watch enough true crime to know you can't clean it all up.
Yeah.
And it's not like they're wearing hazmat suits or anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, Autumn full-blown, like, saw them, like, heard them interact. They were saying, like, each other's names in front of her.
Yeah.
And I was just like... Because when they were first interacting with her, I'm like, oh, shit, they're going to have to kill Autumn. Because, like...
She knows everything.
She knows too much. And then they didn't, and I'm like, okay, I guess.
Well, and she might not even mean to get him in trouble. She might, but just to say... These people came and saved me, you know, and it was fantastic because she has to go to the police, right? She was held by this horrible person.
Yeah, there was a lot of like plot holes like that, which I mean, like, I do think like the true crime girly and me, like, I was having a hard time.
He
like
was literally throwing up all over the place at one of their crime scenes. And I get that she like washed the bowl, but I don't know. It just seems like there would just be DNA everywhere.
Yeah.
I kind of had to put it in a, like, an alternate reality where, you know, I did essentially put in my head, I had it in an alternate reality where cops don't really care about any of this stuff and these serial killers are just getting away with all this terrible, terrible stuff. And they're the last defense between society and these horrible, horrible killers.
So, yeah. I think it just would have been kind of fun if there was a little bit, I think, it, like, a cat and mouse between them and the cops would have been kind of fun.
And they never are concerned about the cops. At one point, when she's late for something, he thinks, oh, no, what if she got picked up by the cops? That's the only time they really talk about being afraid of the cops catching them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It is a little weird. But, yeah, I just kind of had to...
disassociate.
Yeah, just put it in a, you know, an alternate reality situation. Yeah.
What did you think of Rowan as our hero?
Mm. First of all, I like that Irish lilt. I only listened to maybe 3 or 4 chapters. I didn't listen to the whole book. But
which is the opposite of usually what we.
I know.
Usually you listen to more, and I.
I do, but well, I had read quite a bit of it before we even got the book on audio.
Yeah,
but No, I liked Rowan, and I'm interested to hear more of his backstory. I liked his interaction with his brothers. I liked, anytime we read a book about a chef, I just think that seems like the worst lifestyle ever. And I like to cook and bake and stuff, but I just would never want to do it for a living. It just sounds terrible to me.
Well, not to mention, like, every time I cook or bake something, I finish it, and then the last thing I want to do is eat it. Which I guess that works for them because they're not eating it. They're making it for other people. But I was trying, like, what even was her job?
She did something with IT. She was some kind of computer or something because she was kind of hacky. She could kind of hack into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did something.
But she did something with, like, medical too, right? Because she knew...
Maybe. I can't remember. I think they might have mentioned it, like, early on. And
it's just another thing that I was like, where the hell are these people getting money to, like, travel all over the country?
Or the time off to...
Yeah.
I mean, she was stuck in a cage for 3 days with a corpse.
And nobody...
And like, it's like, doesn't she have people looking for her?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, I mean, Rowan was also fun.
He was very sweet with her.
He was very sweet with her.
He was really giving it to her.
Yes, he was.
He was your kind of guy, Ellen. He liked to talk dirty.
I didn't hate that part. I will say, though, because he does get kind of alpha-y towards the end, and there were a couple instances where I was like, bro, like, cool it a smidge.
You mean during the sex?
Yeah. There was just a couple.
Because you have to admit, she saves his life.
No, I know that. And there's just a couple instances where he said something and I was like, calm down.
There was probably, well, he was like that from the beginning. I mean, even with the first guy they killed together
Not like, even that. Not even like the she's mine, back off. It was, I can't remember now. It was something said during sex where I'm like, listen, we know that I am here for the like alpha-y dirty talk. I'm not opposed. But there was a couple times where I was like, too far.
I might have skimmed a little bit because some of the sex was a little... And you,
I mean, I was listening to it, so.
Yes. I get what's happening. Lots of times I didn't get what was happening.
That's for the best.
What? You're doing what? Where?
He's got what? What? Where?
Oh, wait a minute. Hold the phone.
But yeah, I mean, and kind of like her, I also wanted a little bit more justification as to why they were doing this.
Well, maybe what we should say is that it suffers from first bookitis to some extent.
Yeah, and that's...
Unless none of these are ever fleshed out in the other books. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. We've already definitely dabbled on this question, but let's discuss the serial killing elephant in the room. She makes it as acceptable as possible. Wait, no. Because... Making it more acceptable would be getting rid of, like, so much eye gouging.
Ellen, it was eye plucking.
Whatever. I don't know.
Some of those look pretty gougy.
Yeah. But, obviously, they're, like, going after what they have deemed to be, like, the worst of the worst in terms of other serial killers. And so, that is kind of how she makes these people... somewhat, I mean, like, fairly likable, right? Yeah. I mean, I was thinking about it, and it's kind of like, well, really, they're just kind of like a more gruesome assassin, right? Like, if we read an assassin book, and it's dubbed an assassin, we're okay with it.
Right.
And so I was kind of thinking of it in those terms.
Well, and like, her method of killing was far kinkier than his. I mean, he just beat the snot out of people, from mm-hmm. what I could tell. He didn't have as much of an MO as she did. I mean, she was all about the...
She had a very much more, like, calculated...
Decorating the room kind of thing.
Yeah, and yes.
And I don't mean, like, in a good way, like for a party. I mean, parts of him
depends on what you're into.
For depends a party. On what kind of party you like.
Yeah, so... I thought, like, she did a fairly good job at making it, but I did want to know more about, like, how they got into this, and...
I would like to know why that was the way she did it. Like, what was the web thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's never really fleshed out. What was her deal with and webs?
And eyes. Like, what her...
And gouging out eyes, and... Yeah. And she made these maps.
See, and even... It seems like we should have at least gotten that in her book. Like, I don't really care about saving it for Lark's book. Like, we should have understood her...
Why is this...
Her rationale in her book. Like, there's ways... It seems like there should be ways to do that without giving you all of Lark's backstory.
I would agree, Ellen.
So, you know, she poses them kind of as... vigilantes, and honestly, kind of in keeping with your Guy Ritchie or like Quentin Tarantino, like type vibe. She makes like really deplorable things kind of funny. And like I said, sometimes a little too goofy. Like it's a very dark comedy, right? And I was thinking about it. I'm like, yes, this is very unusual for a romance. But obviously, like in pop culture, we have a lot of anti-hero type stories
dark where you're comedy.
Kind of rooting for a bad guy. And I think that this is just kind of in keeping with that. And also the true crime girly in me, I'm like, yeah, we often are very vindicated when the bad guys get theirs.
Well, we often sit and watch these and are like, someone needs to string that guy up by his balls.
Yeah. And so they're just out and doing that. I will always struggle with Orzo and Cookies and Cream now.
The Cookies and Cream was hilarious.
And foul. Like, so foul. Ew. Yeah.
Yeah, that was... It was foul.
Yeah.
Ugh, gosh.
And, yeah,
just thinking about it, like, makes me cringy.
I just think it would have been... And this, I don't think is... Well, I don't know. I mean, we don't really know what exactly is going on with the brothers. I just think that this would have been a fun book to have... at least more mentions of the cops being on their case. Like,
yeah. Well, his brother obviously had some kind of government job, his older brother.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he does that anymore, but he's got these contacts that he's able to find these killers for them. And
so maybe it'll, I don't know. I just feel like somebody needs to be catching on to these people a little bit. Yes. And like they should. If anything, it was kind of making me, like, think, oh, that would be kind of a fun book, is, like, serial killer girl or guy, and then, like, you've got a cop that is, like, on their case, but then kind of decides, like, you know,
that's kind of like Killing Eve.
Yes, exactly. You just keep doing your thing, and maybe I'll help you sometimes a little bit.
Yeah. I think I've said this before, but when I was a teacher, and kids would say, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so are fighting, and I'm like... Oh, they kind of both deserve it. So, okay, I'll be there in a minute. Yeah. And I'd take my sweet time because both of them deserved a good punch.
Yeah. Yeah. There are. Listen, there's a lot of behaviors in kids today where I'm like, obviously I'm happy that this generation of kids is, they do not bully as much. They still do. Like there's still behaviors where I have to be like, that's kind of rude, and you're not a bully, but you're kind of doing...
You're acting like one.
You're doing bullying behaviors, and you need to cool it before they start making you become a bully, like, yeah. Straight up. And, but there's a lot of things where I'm like, see, back in my day, like, that would have been bullied out of you.
You would have been teased about that, and...
Mainly, the number one thing that I'm like, is... picking their nose and eating it. I have so many kids that just, like, full-blown just do it, like, all the time.
And they're in fourth grade. Someone needed to start teasing them when they were, like, in first and second grade, yeah. And then they wouldn't still be doing it in fourth grade.
Yeah, I mean...
But we won't let kids tease each other
anymore. I feel like an asshole because I'm like, hey, knock that off. It's gross. Like, stop.
And then they touch surfaces in the classroom. Yes, then you have to
exactly.
Touch surfaces.
I had to have a talk, like, especially my group last year was so bad at it. Like, I had so many kids.
They weren't doing it right?
Yeah. I'm like, technique, bro. Like, you are not
going to do it right.
No, but I was like, my friends, if you stick your finger in your nose, what are you getting on your finger? They're like, germs. I'm like, okay. If you take said finger and stick it in your mouth, what are you still getting on your finger? More germs. I'm like, uh-huh. And then when you get your nasty little fingers on all of our classroom surfaces, what are you getting all over our classroom surfaces? Your nasty nose and mouth germs. And that's why I'm sick all the time, you little heathens. That's exactly how the conversation went.
It doesn't surprise me.
Every time I relay a conversation, actually that one's not too far off from what I said to the kids, but every time I relay a conversation, it usually has like more swearing and mom's like, is that what you said to the
is
kids?
That exactly
like,
how you
no,
said
that's
it?
How I said it in my head. And Yeah, so there's just things like that. I've also got a kid that's, like, constantly blowing spit bubbles with his mouth. I'm like, stop. Gross. Knock it off. Like, somebody needs to bully these kids a little bit about societal norms. The other thing with these kids, though, I think that they have, like, arrested development when it comes to, like, holes in their face because they had their masks for so many years.
Now they're entranced by all
this. Now they're like, oh, look at this. Look, I can stick my finger up here. Like, and then, there's something edible on there.
And, no, it's not edible.
And so they're doing that in fourth grade when, like, everybody else did it in kindergarten and first grade. And so I am therefore having to take it upon myself to be like, knock it off. Stop doing that. Gross. Anyway, there's our tangent.
I bet we'll have more. I bet we're not done.
Probably. So like I said, I think that there should have been more cop mentions in this book. And just, like, to a certain point, I'm like, how are you guys getting away with it? You're not very good criminals. Like, you're doing kind of reckless things. Like, to the point where when I'm saying that they need to kill an innocent girl, it makes me feel like the asshole. But I'm like, you guys, this is not good behavior.
I should not have to feel like the asshole.
I'm like, why am I telling you how to serial kill?
Yeah, come on. You should be better at it by now.
You're making me feel like the crazy person.
How to serial kill. Is that it's a verb.
But when they let friggin' Autumn escape and there was no mention of Autumn, I'm like, how? In what world? Like, I mean, we've just been watching a whole mess of true crime. People fold real easy.
Real easy. And Okay. Seriously, they left DNA all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, she was in that cage for days.
For days. There's no way. I don't care what you're cleaning it with.
Yeah. It's just not.
Yeah. Listen, we know.
However, maybe when these guys die, the cops just really don't try very hard.
But then there should be, like, I kind of wanted there to be some side character that is, like, a cop friend that's kind of helping them.
It could even be through, his older brother. It could even be through his older brother that they...
Yeah, and even if there was a mention of just, even if Lachlan just, like, briefly says something along the lines of, like, I've got my friend in... Yeah. DOJ or whatever, like, that's covering stuff up, then I would have been cool.
Yeah. It's like our vampire books, because they usually have, like, some cop friend or something that's, like, running interference for him or whatever.
Yeah. So, even just the briefest of mentions would have helped, like, quell my true crime brain a little bit. But, anyway.
Anyway.
Okay, so for me, I kind of wish she found a way to better integrate, like, what I saw as the two halves of the book. So I spent the first half wanting them to hook up, and then I spent the second half wanting them to get back to, like, bantery murder competitions.
And not just...
And so I felt like if we could have... It just kind of made it feel very, like, disparate there in the middle, where it's just, like... First half is all, like, fun, murdery, will they, won't they? And then second half was just constant, like... Oh, I know what was pissing me off about his alpha-ness. The, you're moving to Boston.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, sir, let's pause. Like, you don't get to tell me to do that.
There needs to be a discussion.
And it's like, yeah, and, I'm sorry. Like, why are you not coming to me? Like, why is this?
Well, he does have two restaurants.
I know, and that's fair, but there should have at least been a conversation where, like, she's like, you know what? You're right. Obviously, I should move to Boston and not you come here. But just the whole, like, you're moving to Boston. I was like, I don't like that. Knock that off.
I get you. I feel you, Ellen.
But yes. So... I really liked the first half. I liked the, I think I was enjoying it more when they were killing a bunch of people, which sounds bad. But, I just thought, like, the hijinks and stuff and the banter was good in that first half. Obviously, I'm not mad at the sex. I mean, it did get a little bit like, okay, let's, okay.
My mom's reading this book.
Yeah, I think that was more my problem. I think...
And I had already finished while you were reading all that.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about finishing this book while reading this book. But...
What's the problem?
But I... so yeah, so that might have, like, been messing a bit with, like, my enjoyment of the sex scenes. But, I don't know. I just felt like if there had been kind of a little bit more melding of those two parts, I would have been happier, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, they were very distinctly different. And the thing that we really enjoyed about the first part didn't show up as much.
Yeah, it, like, went away. Like, yeah. As soon as they started hooking up, I was like, so are we done murdering? Is that, like...
are we not there anymore?
I'm like, and if we are, that's cool. Like, whatever. But I don't know. It just, like... It felt very different. Like...
Yeah. I get you.
In the second half. Also, engagement proposal was maybe like a little bit of a bridge too far for me.
It was a little almost cartoony.
That's what I, and see, that's where I'm like, there was moments where I'm like, too much.
Yeah, that's a little over
the top. I'm on board. Like, listen, I've forgiven and forgotten.
And I'm fine with him proposing while they're, you know, staging a murder or whatever. Yeah,
but putting the ring inside a freaking eye cavity
is a little weird.
Yeah.
Even for a killer.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the conflict. So, the conflict is that the lobotomized man, spoiler alert, by the way, the lobotomized manservant that they save ends up
who's playing the end game, big time.
Big game, big time. Like, is that what we're supposed to, like, he's just been lucid the whole time?
Yeah.
Okay. And...
Because he's worked for him for a couple years.
That's right?
Yeah.
That's the other thing is, like, timing felt strange in this book.
Well, it was probably harder when you're listening audiobook, to it. Because when I'm reading it, it had, you know, like this is...
1 year later.
4 months later, you know, it had a lot of that. And so...
Yeah, that's probably true. It was a little easier to follow it. But lobotomized manservant David, like, turns out he's been playing the long con just so that he can... murder
take these
Rowan and like
her too. I mean, he's a
but like he wants to be with her first and then kill her. Like he wants to kill both of them.
Yeah, I mean he talks about doing some nasty stuff to her.
Yeah. So he first like gets Rowan and he's like, you know, send her away, whatever you need to do, and I'm going to take care of you, and then I'm going to go take care of her.
Well, he doesn't say that. He initially tells him he'll let her live if he gets rid of her.
Yeah.
And so he does. But then later on when he's torturing him, then he's like, this is what I'm going to do to her.
Yeah. So Rowan, like, first of all, I think it's important to know also that they had, like, kind of not really a fight, but, like, a weird tension-y moment that morning. And then... So she was already feeling like a little vulnerable about their standing. And then she goes to see Rowan and he's like, get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. Like, we're breaking up. And he's like, you're crazy.
You're over the top. You're a psycho.
Yeah.
And he says, like, all these things that he knows are really going to hurt her.
Yeah. But he's trying to like get her to leave. And, but he's also like dropping clues to her to like maybe... get her to, like, pick up on...
And the clue was the cookies and cream.
Yeah. And she leaves really upset, but then eventually does put together that...
What
he was trying to say. And she comes back and saves him. And, yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the conflict? I think she should have caught on sooner. Like...
I agree.
Because
it was bugging me. Because, I mean, we of course know what's happening to this poor guy. And
but you're not breaking up with somebody and saying, it's like that thing I said on April 10th. I'm like, who the hell says something? Yeah. Like, in fact, I was like, why is David not
picking up on this?
Yeah, because, like, people just don't say that. And
well, the fact that she
maybe I've just seen too many movies, but
pick
I was
it
just
up
like,
on it being weird. But I thought it was a great conflict because I loved the suspense of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
And so it caused a conflict because actually their communication was pretty good throughout the book. In the beginning, yeah. It was a little off because, you know, both of them were kind of insecure about what to say, you know, to the other. But
that all of that was like kind of endearing, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like these obviously serial killing people. But they're like, I just don't know what to say to her.
But they're still super vulnerable when it comes to romance.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then, but their communication, once they get together, the communication is pretty good.
Yeah.
And then, so we were able to have a conflict that created a pseudo breakup without it being a communication problem.
Yeah.
And,
well, because even when they're breaking up, she's like, I thought we said we were going to, like, talk this stuff through, like, yeah. rather than just...
like normal people.
Yeah. And he's like, nope, get out of here.
We're not normal. So, go.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I was here for it. I loved the suspense of it. I loved her just showing up and then just raking this guy across the coals.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, and it sounded like he was doing some nasty stuff to Rowan, mm-hmm. which... he needed to die for.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like he was planning to do some nasty stuff to her.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I liked her being the savior in all this.
Yeah. I liked that they both kind of got their opportunities to like save the other.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I think where I was saying like, I wish that the two halves like melded more is I think I would have liked, other than the epilogue, I would have liked another moment where we got to see them, like,
working together instead of against each other.
On something. Just because they were, like, fun and bantery in those moments.
Yeah.
So I thought the conflict was good for all the reasons that you just said. And it was kind of, I don't know, because I definitely do think that, like, the cannibal, like, scene was the most memorable, so to, like, see that kind of, because, like, when David showed up again, I'm like, oh, yeah, I completely forgot about lobotomized Manser, because, like, when he said David, I'm like, who the hell was David again? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the freaking guy that they, you know,
rescued from the cannibal.
She made work with him, so it was kind of fun to have that not payoff, but, like, plot-wise payoff. Yeah. Who do you think's watching them?
Who do I think? Oh.
At the end.
Well, it says in the... Where did I read that it said... It's someone who wants to get back...
At Rowan. By killing his brother.
Because he killed his brother.
Yes.
I don't know. He's killed many, many people.
I was trying to think... Because... I mean, and at least in the audiobook, the guy had, like, a southern accent.
Mm.
And so it could be the brother of the guy who was, like, watching them in the...
In the hotel room?
Yeah.
In the motel.
Which
gave me very much... in fact, there were a lot of psycho vibes in this.
Mm-hmm.
The guy watching in the motel was very psycho-y.
Well, with the mummy.
And then the other guy, it was a different guy
okay,
who had
yeah.
the mummy who
corpse.
Was mummified. And then she takes the mummy and they're like, oh, you've been a bad boy.
That was kind of funny. Okay. Buckle up.
For all the comments.
Let's talk about sex,
oh my
baby.
Gosh. I told Ellen, I said, I think this
it
could
is.
Be the raciest one we've ever read.
Is it the raciest one you've yes, probably.
Probably. Can you think of one we've done on the podcast that's worse? I mean, even the Gods book, I can't remember what it was called.
Neon Gods.
It wasn't this crazy kind of sex. It was more, but it was very visible, like they were doing it in front of people, which was a little weird. But,
yeah.
I think this is the most, like, wow, what? Wait, you put what where? Huh?
It's definitely the most dommy that you've read, I think.
Maybe. There was a one of the Amy Dawes books.
Oh, where there was like Dom Sub.
Yeah, yeah. The oldest brother of the
soccer players.
Yeah.
But not like this.
Nothing like this. I mean, that was pretty tame, but it was very Dommy. I mean,
yeah.
Also
just like the things he's saying, like, is much more graphic than
it's very graphic
you have experienced before.
So you read that with your mom.
And
you all wanted me to read it, so it's on you too.
You guys. In fact, who is it? Lori, not like-minded Lori, but Lori, she said she was the one who suggested it. Lori, you knew exactly what you were doing. there was a lot of the piercings. I was like, girl, ouch.
Yeah, what are you doing? Getting that holes poked in that.
Some of those, because literally, I mean, I've had Brazilians, right? And even that, I was just like, ugh. And so when she was talking about piercings on certain things, I was like, well, that sounds, also just seems like, I don't, like if it caught on the wrong thing or something, that's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, how do you wear, you couldn't wear like thong underwear or something because, I don't know. I don't want to think about it too much. But mine's not getting pierced. Just FYI, in case everyone was wondering.
Can you imagine, like, going in as, like, a 60 plus
lady? Okay, so I'm this pierced.
He's like, get that out of my face.
Yeah, that guy's probably like, no, I'd never get that picture out of my mind.
He's like, lady, I don't want you to think about...
Gosh, I kind of want to do it now. That'll be double the charge. For your old lady. This.
Gosh.
Sorry, y'all.
So that. Yeah, there was just a lot of really aggressive.
It was very aggressive.
In both word and deed. and yeah, I wasn't mad at it.
I was going to say, when I was reading, I was thinking, Ellen's not going to hate this.
I mean, it's like I said, there was moments where I was like, okay, calm down a little bit. But also, I mean... But then the other thing, like, here's where, I mean, so we know that I don't have any, like, actual experience to draw from, but, like, my weird thing is I enjoy reading this stuff, like, I get into it, right? But, like, if I think about, I don't know, if I think about, like, actually doing that with somebody, I'm like, that is, like, I can't, like, it's just too... Like, I feel like...
Well, let's give you a little bit of a break. You know, you wouldn't do any of that your first time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's maybe where...
You work up to it, Ellen.
Gross, Mom.
Not that I know. Or do I?
Gosh, I hope not.
I just like to make you cringe.
Do we have anything else to say about the sex?
It was plentiful. And crazy.
It was plentiful and robust. What was your swooniest moment?
Okay, I definitely had a swooniest moment. In fact, when I was reading it, I was like, this is going to be my swooniest moment.
Okay.
It was when he was sending food to her and calling her and cooking with her.
That is a good one.
I thought that was really sweet. And and it was kind of his way of, she was mad at him for some reason. Or it was when she'd left the restaurant.
Yeah.
And she was...
Feeling embarrassed
and vulnerable. And so it was kind of his way of working his way back into her good graces. And I just thought it was really sweet. And him just calling it and not going over, just talking to her from across the street and talking her through cooking. So she was like cooking with him.
Yeah. It's another example of where the hell are they getting time off for these Ellen. Kinds of things.
It's an alternate reality.
I did think that was cute. Mine is actually tied to that. I did when she shows up to the restaurant and then, like, leaves behind the picture and he ends up getting the picture
framed.
Tattooed,
yeah.
Yeah. Mainly just because, like I said, it was kind of endearing to have these people who are doing, like, deplorable, horrible things who are just, like,
sweet and vulnerable. I have a crush on a boy.
And, you know, that she's getting all, like, flustered as to showing up at his restaurant. Like, she's all embarrassed. And it is cute that, like, later she goes back to the restaurant and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like, we have a standing instruction that if you ever showed up, we were supposed to, you know.
Yeah, and I got doing stuff and forgot to go back and tell him. And
and I thought that was kind of cute as well.
They had a table reserved for her at any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was sweet. There was a lot of actually some swoony moments outside of all the crazy sex.
Yeah. Okay, Okay, so that is what we thought of the book. So let's start hearing from some of y'all. First up, we have an audio report from Miss Anna. So let's hear from Anna.
Hey, Noyomo's mom and Ellen. Anna here with some thoughts on Butcher and Blackbird. I think it's safe to say that I don't have a gore kink. I don't know if this is considered gore porn. Like, I don't know if that's a term. We read the Rebecca Yarros book a few books ago, Trauma Porn. That was the first time I'd heard trauma porn. So I'm assuming that gore porn is a thing. And I definitely am not in the realm of this, enjoying these types of books. I definitely appreciated the humor and taking things too far that it was like completely fantastical. And so then it didn't feel real, which was good. But I thought that I just didn't really enjoy the story overall. There's 4 years of Sloan and Rowan playing the murder game and not really seeing much of each other. So I didn't see that there was a lot of relationship development on the page. Certainly Rowan does sweet things for Sloan and they're texting and communicating, but it's a long time that, and maybe it's just a slow burn, but it's a long time of them not really interacting much before they get together. During the conflict when Rowan is saying mean things to Sloan because he's being forced to or David will kill her, that seemed completely out of character for the way that he'd been acting in the past couple days. So if I were Sloan, I would have pulled up a stool and been like, no, I'm not going to leave here until we talk this through. The fact that she was just kind of like, she was confused and then she just like left definitely seemed like it wouldn't be the instinct, like her instinct. Somebody who is a serial killer who like just dives in and like goes for things. And I don't know, it just seemed kind of like an unrealistic conflict. So, yeah, I thought that the author did a good job of not overdoing the gore. I think maybe this was tastefully gory. I think I was expecting the worst. And then she did a good job of making light of it. Like the little like interactions where they were saying the left eye looked gougy. And that was cute, but also not cute because it's gruesome and gory. So I definitely learned a lot from the book, but I definitely won't be continuing with the series. So I'm happy for all of you who have a strong stomach and are able to identify with these serial killers and enjoy this type of book, but not for me. And I'm super excited to hear what other people thought of it. Hopefully I'm not the only one. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for that, Anna. I don't disagree with some of what you're saying. I would say that, like, what you were saying about the conflict, there were times where I was like, this character doesn't, like, when they were being really sweet and cute with each other, there were instances where I'm like, this does not compute with, like, the person who goes and, like, gruesomely murders people.
Ellen, people can have more than one side to their personality. But it's true.
Like, I was thinking the same thing in that moment where he's breaking up with her and she's just like, ugh, you know, it's just like dramatic girl. It's like, no, this bitch is going to kill you. Like, if you're trying, you know, if you're breaking up with her in like a illogical fashion, like.
She loved him, though. She even still loved him, even when he broke up with her. Come on. Haven't you ever read a romance before?
I'm just saying I kind of side with Anna on that one.
Well, I side with Anna in that I think that she would have been a little more, you know, you expect me to just walk away and leave? I just moved here.
Yeah.
Let's at least wait till you come home and we'll discuss it.
Yeah.
You know, and none of that. I mean, she just went home and was packing up and ready to go.
Yeah.
And so that I would have at least gone home and, you know, I don't know. Yeah. It seemed a little out of left field, and it seems like she would have called him on it a little more.
Yeah. But also in that moment, I was more like upset about, like, you should have picked up on the fact that he was saying weird
or at least as she was walking home crying, she should have been playing that over and as you would play it over and over in your head and be like, why is he talking like this? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because she picked up on it as soon as Lark called, you know, pulled it up. She's like, wait, I know what that date is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it seems like you would just be playing that over and over in your head while you were walking home the 12 blocks or whatever.
To be fair, this is another thing in the column of unpredictable. So he's referring to a date that was on the ice cream, correct? Mm-hmm. How long ago did that happen at this juncture?
They're serial killers. They remember this stuff.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. If I saw that date on a thing of, that would have stuck with me. On a thing of ice cream.
And that's fair. Like but it seems like if it was, it should have been like mentioned as an inside joke. Like you were not going to remember the like random expiration date.
Oh, but we would have brought, if in our family, we would have brought that up over and over again.
And when I cleaned out mom's cabinet and found like expired spices from that expired in like 1995 or before they had expiration dates on things, you know, I was bringing that up.
Whatever.
But I'm just saying, like, that was a long time to remember this, like, random date. Because it...
April 10th to 13th, is that it?
Yeah, because it was... Because
I'm going to bring that up every time you eat cookies and cream ice cream.
Don't do that to
April
me.
10th to 13th. Because
I love cookies and cream ice cream. Mom doesn't really, like, you don't care about it that much.
I am not. I think it's a flavor for a five-year-old.
You say that about so many things. Cookies and cream is not a flavor for a five-year-old.
No, I'm teasing. That one's not as bad. You get much worse.
It's true. But cookies and cream is, I would not classify that as one.
I'm teasing. That one's not that bad.
Whatever, just because I don't get flavors for like old people.
Whatever.
Pistachio.
I love pistachio ice cream. But I've loved it for a long time, even when I was young.
And you like the, like, mom likes like the blandest, like I like... If we get, like, Jamba Juice, I get something with, like, punch to it. Like, citrus or something.
I don't
Mom likes, like, the blandest flavors.
I don't like sour. I don't like stuff. I really don't like sour. I don't know what it is about me.
She really likes sweet. So, like, even this salsa that she gets, this cherry salsa.
Oh, my gosh. It's so freaking good.
It's like putting candy syrup on, like, a chip.
Yeah. I don't understand what the problem is. You have yet to lose me on this.
So,
comes from Michigan. It's so good.
So
from Cherry Republic.
So I'm the one that likes, you know, juvenile things.
I can go through a jar in like one sitting with like four chips.
I do like pretty immature candies. And
you do like very immature candies.
One time, I think I've told the story probably before, but I went to the grocery store. I think it was like a time of the month thing too, where I was just like wanting comfort foods and things like that. And I went through the grocery store, and the cashier was like, oh.
So, it's not just me.
The cashier was like, oh, how old is your child? I'm like, no child. This is all for me. Because I was getting, like, Goldfish crackers, Fruity Pebbles. Like, I think I got a thing of fruit snacks.
But that poor cashier has to live with that for the rest of her life.
I was like, no, this is just how I eat. Don't worry about it.
Like a five-year-old.
But, yeah. That's...
Yeah, I like sweet candy. I don't like any sour candy.
No, she doesn't.
Like, no sour.
Like, no sour.
I don't even like Smarties.
Yeah, like, she thinks things are sour that aren't even that sour.
Whatever. I like hot tamales. I love black licorice. And I realize that that's a controversial thing. But speaking, I love black licorice.
Speaking of old lady stuff.
Whatever. I've loved black licorice since I was a kid.
Yeah, I know. It's because you're an old lady.
In a kid's body. It's because I was raised in the 60s.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's because that's you were raised in a time where that's all you guys had. Bless your heart. Okay, like-minded Laurie says, I keep hearing great things about this one, but I know it's not for me. My 20-year-old daughter read it when she was home for spring break last month, and I was thoroughly amused by all of her gasps, cringes, and exclamations. She even read one part while peeking through her fingers. It was probably the sex scene. But she really liked it when she read the dedication that said, for those of you that read all the trigger warnings and said, accidental cannibalism, count me in. This one's for you. I responded with, I guess I'm buying you this book, huh? Please don't judge my parenting. Mom would never. I promise she's a sweet, well-adjusted young adult. She just happens to be pretty bold in her reading choices. Anywho, can't wait to hear everyone's take on this one because I like to hear the discourse, even if I'm not able to meaningfully contribute.
Well, Ellen read it with her mom, so...
Yeah. The reading through your... especially if you were in the room with her, Lori, like, reading through her fingers was probably the sex scene.
Yeah.
Because she was like, my mom can't know that I'm reading this part because it's pretty intense.
It's pretty crazy.
Cassie says, I didn't have a chance to reread this for the podcast, but here's my Goodreads review. Everything about this book was a 5-star experience for me. The voice acting and production of the audiobook was absolutely top-notch. It was effortlessly funny. It was dark and gory, but the romance was soft and full of pining. When Sloane and Roan got together, it was steamy as hell, and it felt in line with their personalities. That's true. I mean, like, you would not expect those two to come together and not have it be, like, ugh.
And this was definitely a book where it's, like, because a lot of times, you know, we say, oh, why was it a closed-door sex scene? And it's, like, because the vibe of the book fit with a closed-door sex scene. This vibe did not fit with a closed-door sex scene.
No, it would have been so wild if this had a closed-door sex scene. Cassie continues. I can't say enough about this book, and I can't wait for the rest of the series. I could see myself rereading this around Halloween when I want something spooky but still romantic. I hope anyone who went out of their comfort zone and took a chance with this enjoyed it, and I can't wait to hear what y'all thought of it. Wow. I know that I've said, like, a lot of... But I did, like I said, it's a light love. Like, I really did enjoy the reading experience.
I would say, A light love is a good way to say it, because I think I loved the experience of reading it, but there were definitely things in the story that, like you said, plot holes.
Yeah. Lori says, I was the person who suggested this book. Buckle in. As someone who both read it and listened to it, you have to experience the audiobook. The audiobook is very good.
Yeah, and I did enjoy it. And if you read, and if you listen to audiobook, you kind of have to slow it down, because I know some of you listen at very fast speeds.
Even me, I think the fastest I ever got was 1.7, where I usually get up to like a 2.5 now, I think.
But, because you got to appreciate his voice, and you won't be able to do it if it's too sped up.
Amanda says, I liked this book. Obviously, completely different than anything I've ever read. Well, I listened to the audio. Side note, I definitely recommend listening to it. Fire emoji. I really felt the connection between Roan and Sloane build up. Looking forward to Leather and Lark. Same. I think I might actually read.
I think I might too.
The second to this series. I know I say that all the time, but I am intrigued.
Well, I'd be interested to see how she, because I haven't read any of her other books. I'd be interested to see how she I mean, I think there's still going to be some murder and mayhem in it.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be, I wouldn't
quite
think.
Quite as serial killy.
Serial killery.
Yeah. Kelsey says, I love this book. I can't wait for the second one. In keeping with what we just said. Rachel says, I love this book so much. As much as it is about killers falling in love, I feel it is more about finding that someone whose weird matches your weird. Yeah. I stayed up all night reading it and trying not to wake my husband with all my laughing and crying. Yeah, they are, like, very tender.
Yeah.
I mean, despite the, like, serial killers and the, you know, very rough... sex.
Well, they're very their romance coming together is very, they're both very vulnerable, and
yeah,
it's very sweet.
Yes. Victoria says, I thought this was a lot of fun. I'm not a fan of gore and blood in movies, and there were a few parts here, too, where I had to skip ahead, like the mandolin scene. Yeah. But I thought the premise was...
That said, I did cut my finger pretty bad on my mandolin.
Mom did cut her finger pretty bad on her mandolin. I thought, but it's because Mom was using it incorrectly for the
record. I wasn't using it, the safety features. I was just thinking, I can do this.
And then she...
And then I sliced the top of my finger off.
Solved the error of her ways. Victoria continues. But I thought the premise was unusual and the characters fun. I liked that Rowan and Sloan didn't have some big hero complex and simply liked to kill serial killers. But at times the plot got a little disjointed with little explanations of what happened outside of their yearly meetings. There were hints to what had happened to Sloan, but little background on that, probably because it'll be in Lark's book. Yeah, the sex scenes were hot and plenty, maybe a little too many towards the end that didn't necessarily serve the plot. I would agree with that.
I would agree with that.
And there seems to be newfound vibe for the back door in romance lately. Yeah, I'm definitely reading the next book in the series.
Yeah, it's definitely butt stuff.
Yeah, definitely the most, like, butt stuff we've read in 1 year.
And, like, no, like, prelude to it. It's just like, up here now.
This is happening. yeah. I would agree that, like, towards the end, I was like, okay.
All right. Let's move on.
We get it. We get that you guys are.
That's where I was skimming.
Tiernan says, this was a great book. I loved it. It was totally out of my comfort zone. I'm looking forward to the second book.
Yeah.
There you go. Ian says, I'm not super squeamish, but while I laughed at a lot of the gory humor, parts of this got a bit uncomfortable for me. I listened to this on audio, which was performed in duet style with sound effects, almost like a radio play. Yeah. It was mostly excellent, but hearing the victim whimpering as Sloan describes mutilating them to death literally made my stomach turn. Yeah. I probably would have had a better time reading the ebook and skimming some of the gory bits. That aside, I enjoyed the romance. Their banter and chemistry was a strong point. On balance, I'm giving this one a really like. Yes, that is true. There's murder scenes where they literally have, like, the victim, like, please, please.
Yeah,
like,
or in moaning in the background. Or
yeah, and definitely makes it a little more real as to what's going on, for sure. Jen says, this was a like for me. I'm pretty squeamish. I appreciated the gory stuff was done in a humorous way, but it still left me a little queasy. The actual love story I liked, the idea of Sloan and Rowan competing to take down a serial killer, is a very unique and fun premise. Amongst all the gore, there were definitely some swoony moments, the food deliveries and the tattoos. Yeah. Although I'm interested in Lark's story, I don't think my stomach could handle another one of these. I'll look for a summary on Goodreads. I think I'll stick to books like The Blonde Identity or Riley Thorne, which have the suspense but not the eyeball plucking.
I do like Blonde Identity, and I did like Riley Thorne. And I think there's a new Riley Thorne coming out.
Is there? I hope so.
Did I read that in a newsletter from her or something? I can't remember. Maybe I'm...
Jill says, okay, this was a wild ride, but I kind of loved it. I listened to the audiobook after all the recommendations on here. It was dual narration, but the narrator stayed with their character throughout the book, which I really liked. So when a character describes another character as whimpering or groaning, you get those sound effects from that character in addition to dialogue. I loved the banter. Yes, this was pretty graphic, but so funny. I cackled during the accidental cannibalism scene. I really liked these two psycho lovebirds, and I'm excited to see what the next book is like.
Yeah, I loved her trying to get him to not eat. And he
well, yeah, she's like, did you not figure out? And when he's like, you could have told me. And she's like, well, you crashed my, you know, because she was
She was supposed to be like on a date with this guy.
Mm-hmm. There is a new Riley Thorne coming out.
Yeah, I wasn't making that up, right?
July 16th, The Body in the Backyard.
Nice.
And Lucy Score's like doing really well lately, so... I hope that more people have been, like, checking out Riley Thorne.
She's been pretty prolific. I would love to see that be made into
a series. Well, I don't even know that she's necessarily being prolific, like, more prolific than usual. I feel like they're republishing, like, a lot of Because, like, I saw By a Thread, like, with a new cover at Target.
Well, I think the Riley Thorne books are coming out with new covers.
Yes, because this new one has a new... And I saw... I had my friend buy Riley Thorne and The Dead Guy Next Door, and it had a different cover than...
Than what we had than originally. What we have,
yeah.
Go Lucy.
Go Lucy. Good for you. Okay, final thoughts on this book, on Butcher and Blackbird.
This was... I really enjoyed reading this book, and then I felt bad that I really enjoyed it.
Well, here's the thing.
I didn't feel bad. I felt like, what does that say about me?
Our family, we definitely do like a dark comedy.
We definitely like a dark comedy.
I mean, there are a lot of movies that we like that when people ask, like, what did you think? It's like, well, we like this one. Like, I'm thinking Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh, that's an excellent movie.
I know. I freaking love that movie. What are other, like, dark comedies that we... I mean, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
We like a lot of the dark comedies. That's just a thing.
Well, even movies that are... Well, like, even the one we just saw that your dad and I just saw. There's a lot of blood in that one. A lot of killing. But it was a very enjoyable movie. So, but even, like, Quentin Tarantino movies.
Yeah.
Like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is really a good movie. Yeah, so there's a lot of movies that... A lot of people don't like that we like because we just like...
Well, and like the quirkier the better for our family. Like we like weird ones.
Yeah, we do.
That we have to like recommend with a huge like caveat.
Caveat. We liked it.
We liked it. I don't know if you
but
will.
But it's not for everybody.
But yeah. So that is definitely like... So we are predisposed to... Enjoy a weird
black comedy
about two serial killers who fall in love over a gouged out eye. Like,
yeah,
that's just something that we're probably going to enjoy. Weirdly,
it has our name written all over it.
So yes, while I do, I enjoyed especially enjoyed the audiobook production of it, and while I enjoyed I loved reading the book and enjoyed it a lot. I will acknowledge that there were some plot holes.
This would have been going to have Dylan read with us.
It would have been. True. That's true. Okay. So those are our thoughts and some of your thoughts on Butcher and Blackbird by Bryn Weaver. We would love to hear more from you on our Facebook page, our Facebook group, which is Not Your Mom's Facebook group, our Goodreads group, our Twitter and Instagram, which are at Not Your Mom's Rom, or you can email us at notyourmomsromancebookclub@gmail.com. So if you want to read along with us and email us with your thoughts, or if you would like to suggest a book for us to read, we'd love to hear from you. Next week on May 6th, we will be chatting about You Again by Kate Goldbeck. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever your favorite podcasts are sold for free. Don't forget to leave a review because it helps the show, and we just love to read them. All right. Thanks, Mom.
Welcome, Ellen.
Bye.
Bye.
Not Your Mom's Romance Book Club is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.